I am tired of hearing about this deep state leaking intelligence. There's only one way to get all these dots connected, and you have to have someone in the center. It is very difficult, whether you're in intel business or journalism, to get sources that want to give up their entire career and potentially go to jail in six or seven different locations in the intelligence community. I don't believe our intelligence professionals are coughing up this information. I believe it's in Donald Trump's house.
The leaks are absolutely real. The news is fake.
People with information of the email sent by a PR flack, Rob Goldstone, to Donald Trump Jr. were interviewed by the New York Times. Now, the people who have the email are clearly Don Trump Jr., because he received it. I guess anyone who has access to his information or hears his email from the campaign, who now is turning on Trump, or Goldstone himself, doesn't not clear how that would help him, or someone in the special counsel's office, or someone in the intelligence community who vacuumed up that information. That's how this information is getting to the New York Times. Not getting there from Donald Trump Jr., not getting there from Goldstone. That would make no sense. It's got to come from one of the investigators or from the intel community. And it's being timed and released for maximum political impact. That's where we are. Another piece, by the way, we're going to get to our next guest in a moment, but another piece in the New York Times today is really interesting as the substantive matter, but also brings up the issue of leaks, discussing that Steve Bannon brought a proposal to, I guess it was to Jim Mattis, the defense secretary, about a potential change in how we handle Afghanistan. Are the money we spent in Afghanistan, what, $1.7 trillion, something like that now, thousands of men lost and women, hasn't worked, has not worked. Now they're thinking of putting thousands more back into Afghanistan. Bannon's idea, I guess he has been working on this, is to use more private contractors to do the work that we would normally have American troops do. Is that worth even putting on the table? He brings us up to Mattis. Mattis apparently is not wild about including this in any type of overall review. Went into great detail about this. So either someone in Mattis's office who was there when this was proposed on Saturday by Steve Bannon, Bannon approached them on Saturday with this. They've been working on this for some time. Who's giving this to the New York Times? I don't think it's Steve Bannon. Why would that help him? It's got to be someone in Mattis's office. 855-40-LAURA, joining us now, the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Understanding Trump, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Newt, good to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
So we got the leaks.
I think you have to assume that for all 8 years of the Trump presidency, we will be engaged in a civil war with the bureaucracy, and that the bureaucracy will be leaking every way it can and doing everything it can to slow down what's going on. You see the same thing happening in the Senate, where the Democrats are methodically blocking the various nominations, as the Wall Street Journal outlined in a lead editorial this morning. And this is just all, the Trump people have not yet come to grips with the reality that they were a hostile takeover of the Republican Party, and they were a hostile takeover of the country in the sense that the national establishment repudiated them both times and lost. And so the establishment's not going away. It's not going to roll over and say, oh, gee, the American people picked Donald Trump. I guess I better get used to it. Instead, what they're doing is they're saying, I'm going to slow him down, undermine him, weaken him, do everything I can to stop him from being effective. And we're living through that, and that's what you're watching.
I mean, when we have members of, it seems to me, Mattis's office leaking out this information, I don't know whether to kind of isolate Bannon or pick apart his theory, or, but that's disturbing. I mean, that's not positive.
It's not to Secretary Mattis's advantage either.
No.
He can include it or not include it.
Or McMaster, by the way. McMaster was also there, yeah. And a lot of friends of mine think it's the National Security Council is doing a lot of these leaks, but I'm sorry to interject. Go ahead.
No, I do think there are holdovers. This is one of the great weaknesses of the administration right now, that in all too many places they have holdovers from the Obama years. Those people were totally bitterly opposed to them, and yet they're still in government office, and there's no reason to believe that they're doing anything except being harmful. I mean, if you went down the list and said, you know, are you for Trump or not, you'd be shocked how many senior bureaucrats would have to leave.
Oh, well, and as they should, frankly.
But they're burrowing in.
Right.
They're burrowing in, and they're using every device they have to try to stop it.
Wouldn't this be a good time for the president to begin campaigning again for this transformational change that you and I have spoken about so often, whether it's on repealing Obamacare or getting his team in place or returning more wealth to the people who pay into the federal coffers with tax reform, tax cuts? It seems that on the communication side, he is his best advocate. And we saw this at the G20 with this phenomenal speech. And it seems to energize him. I know he doesn't like to travel, but it does seem to energize him to campaign for issues. And it seems like we have to campaign to get the Republicans' rear ends in gear on some of these big initiatives so he could score some big legislative wins and force the media to cover the legislative agenda rather than Donald Trump's meeting with some two-bit Russian lawyer.
Look, the more President Trump can focus, particularly in the short run, on creating jobs and economic growth through tax cuts, the more he and his entire cabinet spend August talking in a positive way about the opportunity to get America growing again. Kevin McCarthy had a great interview, and the Republican majority leader in the House, and had a startling fact, which I had the folks here at Gingrich Productions double-check. In Obama's best year of economic growth, it was worse than in Bill Clinton's worst year of economic growth. And just think about that. For 8 years, Bill Clinton's economy grew, and since I was Speaker for four of those, I'm pretty proud of this, but for 8 years it grew dramatically faster than Obama's, so much faster that in the very best year Obama had of economic growth, he was lower than Bill Clinton's worst year. Now, why am I bringing this up? If Trump would go back to being Mr. Jobs, Mr. Economy, Mr. Economic Growth, if they would outline the tax cut bill now, right now in July, spend all of August, I mean, drown the health fight, drown the Russia stuff, focus the American people on what the American people care about, which is jobs and take-home pay, and really force the Congress in September to mark up and move a tax bill with a specific goal of having it signed into law no later than Thanksgiving and making it retroactive to January 1 of this year. That would give them such economic growth in 2018 that it would virtually guarantee the Republicans would keep the House and gain 4 to 6 seats in the Senate.
I agree with that. I think they need to repeal this and have a date certain where the replacement has to take effect, where it has some more of the free market elements that we know will drive the cost of health care down, Newt. The New Republic has a piece out today, The Truth About the Russia-Trump Collusion Conspiracy, making the case that the Donald Trump Jr. meeting with this, quote, Kremlin-connected lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya, that was on June 9th. And then June 9th, Donald Trump, candidate Trump, tweets about Clinton's missing 33,000 emails. They're trying to, you know, say that the timing of that is curious. Then they go on to say that Donald Trump Jr.'s desire to meet with this woman shows that there was at least a demand side of the Trump collusion narrative present, that there was a demand for the services of the Russian government to hurt Hillary Clinton and perhaps provide information, and that this meeting, even if nothing came of it, this meeting is proof that they wanted this help from Russia.
Well, look, I mean, the left has a narrative which basically says Clinton couldn't have lost on her own because she was a terrible candidate, and she couldn't have lost because she had terrible ideas, so the Russians did it. Now we got to go find proof that the Russians did it. They've been looking for proof now for 7 months. They don't have any. I've yet to see anything which resembles a serious effort to change the election. I think you really have to question the degree to which this is just a Washington phenomenon. This is why I think the president should focus on issues that matter to the American people, like jobs and economic growth. Let the lawyers fight it out. Let the New York Times and Washington Post be happy covering trivia. But in the long run, I don't think this is going to come to anything. But on the left, it gives them something to write right. about and be excited about, you know, and allows them to avoid thinking about how bankrupt their ideology is.
What about this idea of in Afghanistan of switching up our efforts away from the deployment of more American troops? We've been there since 2001, where we first started the invasion, and we're still there. What are your thoughts on that? That was Bannon's idea, apparently.
Well, look, I actually think that there's sort of a variation on that, that we ought to be focusing very intensely across the whole broken region, from Libya and Somalia across to Afghanistan. We should be focusing on finding local units that we can pay and train and organize, because in the long run, American units are so expensive, and we value the lives of our young men and women so highly that it's very hard to sustain the many, many year campaign it's going to take. None of this is going to be over quickly, and none of it is going to allow us to withdraw from the region. And so you have to really rethink the design. Part of that, I think Bannon's probably right. Part of it's probably hiring people who are willing to go in, being paid. If you see the movie 13 Hours, remember, mm-hmm. most of the guys who were involved in Benghazi were paid contractors. They had been SEALs, or they had been Delta Force, or they'd been Rangers, but they were now back, having gotten out of the military. They're now back as private contractors, and they're the guys who did the bulk of the fighting in Benghazi.
Yeah. Are you surprised that the left is so mired in these conspiracy theories, or is it that they're out of ideas? Their ideas didn't work. Certainly didn't bring the country together after 8 years of Obama. We didn't have any economic growth. It was stagnant. Wages didn't go up. And the country seems more divided, but even before Trump stepped onto the scene. And this is where they are. There is literally no substantive back and forth with them on any significant issue that I can see.
No. And they resemble a lot the British left's response to Margaret Thatcher, which led them to get crazier and crazier. And by 1987, in her third campaign, the British press routinely talked about the loony left, because they were just totally off the charts. And you have a similar kind of thing underway here. With every passing month, they get slightly crazier. The reaction, for example, to the Warsaw speech, which was a remarkable speech by Donald Trump, certainly in the same league as Ronald Reagan's Westminster speech, and he talked 10 different times about Western civilization. Well, that just drove the hard left crazy. I mean, as far as they're concerned, to use the words Western civilization is racism, and it makes you wonder, are these people just crazy? The answer probably is yes, actually. But I think they are so mired in their ideological worldview. Remember, the sudden traumatic shock of going from Hillary winning at 8 o'clock at night to Hillary losing at 11 o'clock at night, and not losing to a Jeb Bush or a John mm-hmm. Kasich, but losing to Donald J. Trump. They have never gotten over this trauma. It's almost like some psychological movie where there's this thing which is at the center of their being. And the result is, remember, right afterwards, colleges were sending out, do you need a therapy dog? Do you need aromatherapy? Do you need a few days off to cope with the agony? This stuff just would be either, it'd be very funny if it wasn't so dangerous.
No, in such a time where things are so, so critically important with North Korea, we got no help from the G20 on North Korea at all. All that was a big waste of money. I mean, it's, as far as I can tell, the president gave a great speech in Poland. He could have just gone to Poland and given the speech and come home. I mean, there was nothing came of the G20.
What he did, of course, but he did rally the Central Europeans in a way which was a direct collision with Chancellor Merkel. I mean, there's a real division in Europe between the Central Europeans who refused to accept massive refugee immigration and the German model of opening your border and letting everybody come in who wants to. And I think that there was very clever on Trump's part to go to Warsaw first, give a great speech, be surrounded by hundreds of thousands of Poles who are chanting Donald Trump, and then go to Hamburg to meet with the other countries and remind them, you know, glad to meet with you all. By the way, I represent the United States, and you don't.
No, I loved it. I just loved that speech. I mean, I have Polish, so I loved every minute of it. I think John Paul II was smiling as well. What about Callista's confirmation? What's going on with that for Holy See Ambassador?
She is in the Senate now. She's been nominated formally by the president, and she has met with a number of senators, had very good meetings with both Democrats and Republicans, and she will have a hearing, I believe, they hope, next Tuesday. And then if the hearing comes out okay, they then goes to the floor, and hopefully, you know, her hope, I think, is that they'll get it through before they leave for the August recess, because she would like to get to her post at the Vatican and like to represent the United States and work with the Holy See. But she's very aware that she is subject to the Senate, and she cannot do anything until confirmed by the Senate.
And the Energy Secretary, Rick Perry, has no deputy right now, still has no deputy. So this is, I mean, the ambassadors are being held up. Deputy secretaries aren't being confirmed with no explanation. Mitch McConnell's got to make this another public public pitch and a public priority. Newt Gingrich, the author of Understanding Trump, New York Times number one bestseller. Thank you so much.
The Laura Ingraham Show.